Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Tuesday morning. Ascension Technologies text line 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the show. Please use your texting device. Still to come on the program about an hour from now, we'll talk to Brian Taylor running for the Alabama Supreme Court. Also on the program coming up, Alabama Republican Party Chairman John Wall. That's in the 11 o'clock hour, so stay tuned for that. But joining us now, it's my pleasure to bring on our next guest. He's running in the 1st Congressional District, but for now he represents the folks in what is currently the 2nd Congressional District here in Alabama. But Congressman Barry Moore on the line with us. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Jeff. We are doing good. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Thanks for making time for us. We do appreciate it. I know you have some busy votes going underway this morning. Real quick, let's kick it off here. Kind of walk us through what happened last night. The Mayorkas vote didn't quite get there. Where are we on that, you think?
So I don't know. I appreciate Marjorie, and I was a co-sponsor of that because Mayorkas needs to go. And it's not just because he's not doing his job on the border, which we know that with the millions that are poured into this country. We've had him in front of judiciary, and he's one of few people that I can honestly say will look you straight in the face and lie to you and tell you the border is secure while the video shows people pouring across. That is a direct result, and not only just fentanyl poisonings in our country, but a rise in crime. And recently, I think they said only 2% of the people who had been to New York illegally, or those illegals who had been shipped to New York, actually got work permits. But in addition to that, we discovered this week on judiciary through depositions that Mayorkas was working on an election integrity partnership with some of the universities and some of the big tech people, and they were silencing conservatives. So not only is he a part of an open border, not enforcing laws that are on the books and protecting American citizens and allowing invasion, at the same time, he is wanting to spy and quiet and silence those conservative voices in America on Twitter and other social media platforms, the Hunter Biden laptop, all those stories that were out there. He created, remember they started a disinformation governance board, Jeff, and he got so blew up in committee that they walked that back. But then secretly they went around with the EIP, which is an election integrity partnership, we discovered. And they're doing the same exact thing to the American people under the dark of agencies and bureaucrats, the things that really are not working for the American people.
Well, I mean, do you think you guys in the House take another shot at Mayorkas in the future?
We sure need to. I've been proactive in trying to get rid of him. I think that's something that needs to happen. And honestly, look, this entire government bureaucracy under Biden is weaponized against the American people, against free speech, against your Second Amendment rights. And so we have a responsibility to continue to hold them accountable. Impeachment is part of that process. Oversight is part of that process. But never forget the funding mechanism. That really is where we have power. People call me all the time and say, hey, we're tired of the hearings. We want some results. And so the funding mechanism is now where the fight is. We can continue to have our impeachment. There is a uniparty in Washington, D.C. that does not want to see significant change. But at the same time, there's conservatives coming in, Jeff, that I think are making a difference. Some of us in House Freedom Caucus. And I think the election and the fight over the speaker was part of that process of a new type of conservative leadership, America First people that are here. And we're in the fight. It's not going to be easy. And at times it's going to look like we're maybe not getting much done. But this does not change overnight, my friend, but we're in the fight to win it.
Yeah, it's certainly a kind of a slow process. Speaking of processes, let's talk about this potential government shutdown. Mike Johnson's approach here. It looks like, at least reportedly, he's courting Democrat votes. What do you make of this situation where we stand today?
Well, let me say personally, this is not an attack against Mike Johnson. He is a good man. He's a man of faith and a dear friend of mine. But I think he's been in there 19 days, and in some ways he's worried about a government shutdown. But to me, we need to go with our 12 approach bills. I voted against the two CRs. We did not come here to do business as usual. Most of us did not. We have a responsibility to do 12 appropriations bills and not just do these CRs or these omnibuses at Christmas that put us now $33 trillion in debt, which is $33,000 billion. And the reason this has happened and we've gotten here is 27 years of no approach. And so, man, there's some of us who are saying, Mike, we want 12 approach bills. We want to do the process the way the founders intended, the way the process should be done, and not do this omnibus. And so I think Mike's concern about a shutdown is that, it's going to look bad for Republicans. man, you know what's going to look bad for Republicans if we go along to get along and continue this uniparty process of just funding this runaway government, weaponizing its American people. And certainly we need to isolate DHS and DOJ out of these bills that, because we just voted last night to impeach Mayorkas, most of us in the Republican conference. At the same time, we're going to vote to give him money in a CR. Why would we do that? And that's, like I said, we've got oversight. But our next process is the budget. And I, you know, look, one of the things Jim Jordan and I are working on is we want to move these agencies, Jeff, out of Washington, D.C. And for Republicans, a few of them last week, and a bunch of Democrats to vote to fund the FBI to build a new building in Washington, D.C. is counterproductive. We're trying to move it to Huntsville. Let's 90% of federal employees give to the Democratic Party. Why would we keep funding this cancer in Washington, D.C. that quiets the American people, that rules over the American people? They become our they think we're their subjects instead of their servants. I mean, I'm sorry, they think, yeah, instead of them being public servants, they make us their subjects. And, man, why would we fund that? So that's the fight, brother. That's where we're at.
Well, and getting where you need to be vote-wise, I mean, and Speaker Johnson looks like he's at least won a little bit of favor from Schumer and that crowd, and I've seen some people in the Biden administration with this approach. That makes me a little skeptical of this approach that he's got underway here.
Yeah, I think you got to fire that first shot. And our point in House Freedom Caucus is let's send 12 approach bills to the Senate. Let's call it the Schumer shutdown. Don't let them just hit us with an omnibus at Christmas. And when they say, oh, we're going to send an omnibus here at the end of the year at last minute, and they always threaten us with the shutdown because they do try to punish our soldiers. They do try to punish the people that we appreciate in this country and that we know are doing their jobs. But at the same time, those people that are fighting for the liberty and the freedom in this country, they want us to fight for their rights and freedom as well. And the way we do that is through 12 approach bills and through a process that we can threaten to shut this thing down briefly if we have to. Because still 70-80% of the government's going to function whether there's a shutdown or not. Now, the media will try to spin that on us. But I think that's our leverage. I'm not saying we need a shutdown. What I'm saying is we have to be willing to fight the tough fight at this point in the history of this nation to save this nation. You cannot vote for bacon. You can't simultaneously bring home the bacon and save the nation. You just simply cannot do both.
Joined by Congressman Barry Moore of the 2nd Congressional District, also candidate for Congress in this election cycle for the 1st Congressional District. Well, the field is set. Not quite. Your old district is very crowded, but this 1st Congressional District, it's you and Congressman Carl in the Republican side did, I believe, a Democrat did qualify. But kind of where are you as far as the campaign goes right now?
We're up and going. You know, about seven of those counties that are in the new district, one are mine and two are my opponents. And so we have a lot of area in there that we've already covered that we've represented well. And, you know, when this district was Cooks rated it a couple weeks ago, Jeff, it went from number 75 most conservative district in the nation to number 6. And me being House Freedom Caucus and being rated CPAC as one of the most conservative members from the Alabama delegation are the most conservative in 2022. It's a district that we can represent well. And so Heather and I prayed about it. We're waiting for a green light. We felt this is where we need to engage. People encouraged us to stay in the fight. And, hey, that's what we're going to do. And, you know, for our office, I mean, we were rated the most effective congressional office from Alabama in my freshman year. And so we have proven that you can truly be conservative and at the same time effective in this swamp that we live in up here in the system we fight for our constituency. And you can do it. You can be effective. But it's a lot to do with our great team. And so certainly this year we were rated number 2 in the nation out of all Republicans on constituent services by solving over 3,700 cases. So, again, we've proven we're here to serve the people. I think my staff does that. And, hey, I think we can continue to serve. We'll add a little bit of Baldwin and some of Mobile County to the 6 counties or 7 counties that we have now. But we're going to continue to do what we've been doing. If the people want to hire us back, we're happy to serve.
And it's a complicated district because, I mean, it's Mississippi to Georgia, or as we've been saying on this show, Dolphin Island to Dothan. How do you mentioned that you've already conquered or you're already familiar with two-thirds of the district, let's say. What do you do to kind of capture or familiarize yourself and present yourself to the voters over here on our side of AL1?
So we've already been over there some, and I think it's just a matter. And then listen, when people come to Washington, D.C., they get two for the price of one. I can't tell you how many White House tours my wife has given from people from that part of the world. And so as they come to D.C., because Heather travels with me, we've got to know many of those people, and some of our strongest support is in that area. And so We're going to continue to message, man, that we were the first with Trump. We endorsed him in Lab People Stadium in August 21st, 2015, the first elected official in the nation to endorse him when he was running. Obviously, I was a delegate then. I was a delegate this time. I've signed up. And so we're going to continue to just do what we do and be conservative and fight for the people and for what we believe in. And we're not going to back up on that. We did that for 8 years in the state legislature before we term limited ourselves. We've been here in Washington, D.C. fighting. Again, we were rated the most effective Republican in my freshman year from Alabama as far as serving these people. And look, man, we can run on our record, Jeff, and we're proud of that record, and we're going to continue to run on that record and let the people choose.
Well, something you did in 2020, and it's always sort of amazed me, when you're running against Jeff Coleman, there was the big lag between the primary and the runoff because of COVID. But really, like, you were pretty strong, but where you really turned on the or opened up the floodgates or whatever, up in the two, like, those two counties north of Montgomery and Autauga and Elmore County, and, I mean, those are pretty far away from Coffee County and Enterprise, and you were able to do that up there with what I would say, what seems to me, maybe they're not as familiar with you. Certainly they weren't familiar with Coleman, but is that... When you look back at that and that experience and kind of entering into a new territory there, you ever look back at that and say, what did we do here? And we got really familiar, and then we had really good results coming out of that.
Yeah, I think the key for us is we never go negative. My wife and I and our family, our faith is priority. We're not going to go out here and run our witness attacking other people. We're, again, going to run on our record. That's what we've done. And people got to know our hearts and knew we were in this for the fight. Look, this is not something I wanted to do. We felt called to do this. And so we're in a fight for the future of this country. There is a lot at stake. And so when you share your heart with people, they know your intentions. They understand that, hey, you know what? This guy's doing this because he feels called to do it, and he's not talking bad about the other people. I simply asked people in 2020, I said, 2020 is hindsight. Look at my record. Don't go based on what I tell you I'm going to do. Look at our record. And Jeff, look, we're House Freedom Caucus in D.C. We told people we'd do that. We're the most conservative member, according to CPAC, in 2022 out of the Alabama delegation. We were with Trump way before it was popular, before the train left the station. And we consistently fought. I joined the Ag Committee, and we continue to fight for agriculture. And I'm on Judiciary, where I'm holding Christopher Wray, the FBI, those guys, the DOJ, Merrick Garland, all of those people, we're holding them accountable. And so I told the people I would do that. That's what I'm going to continue to do. And we're in this fight to save this nation. And we don't mind being the tip of the spear. People get behind us, and very often they do.
Well, and you mentioned House Freedom Caucus. I guess from your standpoint, do you think you'll get help there in this cycle? But more importantly, I would say probably bigger picture. Do you think the House Freedom Caucus is in a position to sort of grow its ranks in the House of Representatives?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. The thing you find a little disappointing is people run all the time and say, oh, I'm going to join the House Freedom Caucus when they get to D.C. And then when they get here, the special interests and the big committee appointments and assignments, the big money gets a hold of them, and they don't do what they said they were going to do. But I have seen House Freedom Caucus grow. And, you know, I think it's up to about 40 members. And look, it started with Jim Jordan and just a few guys, Warren Davis and Mark Meadows, a few years ago. And I think the temperature in America has, I think it, with Trump winning, I think people begin to realize that, hey, this system is truly broken and it's not working for us and we must take it back. And so they're continually sending America First candidates here. And that's how the ranks of House Freedom Caucus grows. And they have an excellent brand. I mean, people love the House Freedom Caucus. And so being a part of that, Jeff, being in that room, I tell you, that's one of the few places I go in D.C. I don't feel like I need a shower because I'm in the room with patriots, people who are putting this country first and not their political careers. And that's what we have to do. And that's not always easy, but their ranks are growing and so is their influence.
Last question we'll get you out of here on this. When you were making your decision to run for AL1, how seriously did you look at AL2, running outside the district, or any of the other options before you decided on going in this direction?
Jeff, that was one of the toughest things for me because you talk about praying and not knowing what the Lord is calling you to do sometime. I was torn because, you know, I looked at two and it became so moderate and I'm the most conservative guy from the Alabama delegation. How could I want to be Vox Populi. I really want to represent people. And so I didn't have a good feeling about trying to represent a district that was, you know, leaning Democrat, leaning more moderate when I'm a House Freedom Caucus guy. And that doesn't make sense to try to serve. But when I saw the numbers come through on this one, we kind of felt like that this, look, we were in the fire for Jordan to be speaker. There were some things going on with appropriators that concerned me and some of the big money committees up here that weren't supporting Jim behind the scenes. That was one of the red flags for us. But then when you saw this district become the sixth most conservative district in the nation from number 75, and you thought, well, you know what? That's a district I can represent. I can be, I can vote who I am. I can stand on my convictions, and they're going to appreciate me for that. That makes a decision easy.
Congressman, we'll get you out here on this. Folks need to find out, especially in our neck of the woods, may not be familiar with you, need to find out more about who you are or anything about your campaign. Where can they look?
So, I mean, we've got social media. Obviously, we've got Barrymore Republican for Congress social media. We also, on the official side, we have some newsletters we do each week, the More You Know newsletter we send out of our office. And so just depending on, there's a lot of moving parts, and we're constantly doing interviews. But I would say, yeah, check out our social media. That's a good spot to go and look, and Barrymore Republican for Congress. And we're happy to try to answer any questions. And honestly, you'll find it interesting. My wife and I, especially my wife, monitors that pretty closely for us, and we try to get back to people.
Congressman, you're always very kind to make time for this show. We do appreciate it.
Thank you, Jeff. Have a great day, buddy.
You do the same. That was Congressman Barry Moore there. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.